Turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. I want to say thank you to all the campers for how well you've listened this week. Even last night, I thought, I didn't have a clock, so I didn't know how long things went. But at the same time, I know that coming down from that mountain, I was tired, and I'm sure that many of you were as well. Both directions, whether you followed our group or you went with the other group, both directions are strenuous. One is just much longer than the other one. And so I know that it may have been difficult in the darkness and in the warmth and in the tiredness to stay alert, but I think you did a great job and you have done so well this week. And I'm just asking just a little bit longer, just a little bit longer to pay attention. Sometimes the temptation is on the last service of a week to think beyond that and think, well, this is it, we're almost done, and that's it. But do not do that tonight. The Lord has something for you. As we mentioned the very first service, that the Lord has something for you every time the Word of God is opened. And so don't miss what God has for you. And for the counselors, they've done a great job as well, I'm sure. Maybe some better than the others. You know, I feel bad for those that Danny was counselor to, but I'm sure you were all right. I'm sure you survived. I know some already left. I don't know who counselors, who was JW's counselor, but they couldn't hang with it any longer. Jonah is where we're going to be today. Sometimes I think it's interesting. Somebody said today, they said, you remind me of a preacher. And that's always interesting. You know, what preacher are they going to say that they remind you of? And you'd never want somebody to say that. Say, what's that guy's name? Oh, yes, Joel Osteen. That's who you remind me of. You don't want people to say that, okay? You don't want to be named after that guy. And I would think that you probably don't want to be known to be like Jonah. Of all the prophets, Jonah's not popular. Jonah's not popular because of his attitude. Jonah's not popular because he was like Elijah. Jonah's popular for the wrong reasons. Jonah's popular because he ran from what God wanted. And that really is the title of my message. Don't be a Jonah. And I don't ever do this, but I hashtag my title. My hashtag is stop running. Okay? Stop running. And that's what Jonah did. Jonah ran. I feel like at the end of the book, Jonah's basically still running. In his mind, in his attitude, he is running from what God wants for him. And sometimes we do that. I don't really like to run. I try. It really doesn't work out so well. I try to run maybe a couple times a week. And I think once this week, if that, have I ran. And that was coming down the mountain. I just don't. When I was in sports, I don't mind if I'm chasing after something or even being chased. It's a whole lot easier to run than just going out there and, you know, running. Maybe I should put a donut on the end of a stick and just chase after the donut. Maybe that would help me. I'm not really sure. But running isn't enjoyable for me unless there's some other purpose involved, competition-wise. But there's been some times in my life where I do really remember some enjoyable times. I was a youth pastor, as I said, in Indiana, and we went to a state park there in Indiana and towards the south, and there were some hills and there were a lot of trees. And to be honest with you, the whole point of that was just to get out in nature and have a good time. Well, at one point in that activity, we decided the girls wanted to go do something else and the guys, we wanted to go on to some nature hike or something like that. So us guys, we took off, and from there it was just whatever happens, happens. And I remember being on top of this one hill, and there were these trees that they had dropped these large nuts. And we were average guys. There was probably 10, 12 of us. And we started picking up those nuts and throwing them at each other. And we did that for 20, 30 minutes. Probably didn't hit anybody. But we just had a good time throwing those nuts at each other, trying to hurt somebody with it. And then from that point, I think we started chasing off after the other group. And that evolved into just running. I don't understand anything about it other than we were running through this park on these trails and we just kept running. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't know why, but we all enjoyed it. And the weird thing was, is at that time, other than, you know, some sports here and there, I didn't run. I didn't do any of that. In fact, there was only a couple of guys that maybe were in track, but one especially that I remember was, he's probably 6 foot tall and he probably weighs 250 pounds. He's solid, but he's not, you know, he's not, he, it's funny. He looks really strong, but he's not. It's just the way it was. But I remember he was running right along with us, and I kept turning around, and maybe he'd pass me, and maybe I'd pass him, and we kept thinking, all of us felt like, how are we still doing this? We were just having such a great time just running up and most of the time down. And I remember some of these trails would get really narrow. Sometimes there'd be like almost like a cliff, not really a cliff, but just a really steep hill. And you maybe run past somebody, and like yesterday, we're running down those, and it reminded me of this yesterday, we're running down that trail, some of us, and I think it was Stephen Hanke was right in front of me, and he was so close in front of me that I couldn't see where my feet were going to land, and so I was trying to dodge roots and rocks and things like that, and that's kind of the way it was, and just running for your life is that feeling. Well, at one point, this big guy, his name was Ty, this big guy is running for everything he's worth, and all of a sudden I hear this crash, and a crash, and it continues to crash, and I look back, and he had slipped on one of those inclines, and he had gone down the hill, trees, leaves, rocks flying everywhere. Then he gets up and starts running right again. It was the weirdest, but everybody that was there will remember that. And we're like, if we could recreate that, we would do that. It's one of the most fun things we've ever done, and we don't even know why. It just was. But that's not Jonah's running. That's not Jonah's running. He wasn't running for fun. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down to it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this passage, Lord, I don't know the hearts of the young people. Only you do. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that includes myself. Many times our hearts deceive us into thinking that we are where we ought to be. But Lord, I pray that as we look at this passage, you would expose our hearts, show us, Lord, if we're running from something in our lives that you would have us to do, Lord, I pray that that would be an increased burden on us tonight. Lord, that we would desire only to be where you want us to be, doing what you want us to do. Help us to trust you. That is the best way. Lord, I thank you for this passage. I thank you for this little book of Jonah. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want us to notice is that Jonah ran from God's presence. It says three times in chapter 1 that Jonah ran from God's presence. We've already read one in verse 3 that he ran, or that he went from the presence of the Lord. Now, many times we maybe misinterpret what Jonah was thinking. You see, Jonah, it says in verse 2, God says, go and cry to this great city. And then it says in verse 3, but Jonah. Don't let it ever be said of you that God said something, but you decided something else. But you didn't want to. But you didn't feel like it. But nothing. This is what God wants. And Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't think that Jonah, I mean, we've said this, you know, little kids and those kind of things. I don't think that Jonah actually thought, I'm going to get away from God. I believe that Jonah knew enough about who, he's a prophet. He knows enough about who God is. He says one of the reasons why he runs is because he doesn't want the Ninevites to turn to the Lord. He says in chapter 4, but I knew that you would do this. I knew that you would save them. Well, he knows the Lord. And that's why he doesn't want to do this. I don't think necessarily that he really thinks that he is going to get away from God. Or get away from where God is in that sense. But I do think that, him running from God's presence was running from the conviction. Running from knowing, this is what God is saying. This is the young person that doesn't want to be in church. They don't want to be around the presence of the Lord. This is the young person that gets away from their devotions, and when they think about doing their devotions, they say, I don't feel like it. I don't. They don't want to be around the youth pastor because they feel that conviction. They feel that presence of God around them. And that just that thought in their mind, they don't want to be around that. They don't want to be around the hearing of Scripture. They don't want to be around the reading of Scripture. They don't want that in their life. They don't want the presence of the Lord. And I believe that's where Jonah was, is that he just didn't want to be around that. It says when God wanted him to go to Nineveh, they say that's in the northeast, which in Lattimore, my compass is broken. That's north, so that makes that east. And it says that Jonah went to the west. Jonah just went the opposite direction. I'm going to get out of here. I don't want to go where Nineveh is. I don't want to go where God wants me to be, so I'm going to try to get away from that. And we can run from the presence of the Lord in our lives. When we're getting away from Scripture, we're getting away from the presence of the Lord. When we don't want to think about those kind of things, when we don't want to think about what God's standards would be in our lives, we're running from the presence of the Lord. But I think it also means that he was running from the call of God in his life. I think that's obvious. Well, this is where God wants me to be, so I don't want to be there, and I don't want to be anywhere near there, and I don't want to point myself in the direction of Nineveh, because I might find myself doing what God wants me to do. Because he knows that God is powerful. And so he's going to try to, maybe if I get far enough away, maybe God won't call me anymore. Young person, if it's God's call on your life to be a pastor, to be a missionary, to be an evangelist, to be married to one of those, you can't get away from that call. You can try, you can stick your fingers in your ears, you can get away from Scripture, but it's always going to be there. And if you reject that in your life, you will regret that in your life. It'll be years later that you'll say, I wish I had. I knew a young man that went to college and he studied for something completely different. And years later he said, I wish I had done that. I wish I had. That's what God was calling me to do. And I think to myself now, you know, just at that time, he was in his 20s. And I thought, I think now, you know, it's not too late. Don't live the rest of your life in regret because you've lived the last of your life in regret. Don't do that. Don't do that. But he ran from the call of God in his life. And maybe you say, well, God hasn't called me to do that. Or maybe you say, I'm not sure that God's called me to do that. God has called you to do something. He's called you to be faithful to Him. He's called you to be in His Word. He's called you to be in prayer. He's called you to tell the lost about Christ. God has called you to do something. Don't run from that. Don't try to get away from what God wants. You know, sometimes as you discipline children, they don't always like the discipline that comes in their lives. And maybe you've done this in your life. I probably tried to do this. You know, your parents correct you, and so you run away, right? You know what I'm saying? Maybe it probably didn't even leave your yard. Well, I've had a daughter that I won't say which one, but on multiple occasions she was upset, so she's gonna run away, and she takes. It's funny. I don't know if she saw a picture in a book or something, but she'll take like a handkerchief and put some things in a handkerchief and tie it on a stick and like put it over her shoulder. You know, like we're going to do this the right way. All right. Or maybe she'll wrap things up in a blanket or a backpack and she'll go out. And one time she did that and she went out in the yard underneath a bush. And I mean, we can see her from the window. And I think she left a little notebook piece of paper in the house, like, I ran away, or something like that. And it's funny to us. You know, we're inside the house laughing, knowing that she's not going to leave the yard because eventually she's going to realize, I'm not going to have anything to eat. It's going to get cold. It might rain, you know, those kind of things. And she might even know that in her mind. But that's silly, isn't it? I'm not going to let her run away. And the Lord's not going to let you run away either. You know, the Lord knows that if you run from Him, you're going to have a miserable life. The Lord doesn't want you to have a miserable life. God made you to work a certain way. God built your life to do something. And if you try to do anything else, it's not going to work. And the Lord doesn't want that for you. And the Lord's always going to be there saying, you know, turn around, come back. I have something for you. And don't run from the call of God. Don't run from the conviction of the Lord. Don't run from the change that God is trying to make in your life. And that's another thing that sometimes the presence of the Lord represents for us. Is, well, if I'm close to the Lord, I'm going to have to change some things. I might not be able to watch that show anymore. I may not be able to watch that movie series. I may not be able to have that friend. I may not be able to listen to that music. And maybe the presence of the Lord in our life represents that. And as long as we run from that change in our lives, we're going to run from Scripture. We're not going to enjoy being in His Word. We're not going to enjoy hearing our youth pastor. We're not going to enjoy hearing preaching. We're not going to enjoy any of that. We may not even enjoy our parents around us, because it represents for us something that God is trying to do in our lives. And I think Jonah was just trying to get away from all of that. I'm going to get away from this town that I'm in. I'm going to get away from all that because of what it was in his mind. And Jonah ran from God's correction. I think it's interesting that as he gets into this ship, God begins to correct him. I want to tell you, sometimes in your life, you will try to do something and God will put up walls because he's trying to stop you. Several years ago, I was on a course to do something, and it wasn't sin, it wasn't wrong like that, but it was something that some people were pushing me to do, and I was heading that way. I was trying to get advice, and I really wasn't getting very great advice, and the things weren't working out so well. And actually, Brother Jeff Long, who was here this week with the group, he called me one day, and I think we both graduated from college, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to be in town. Let's go out to eat." And Jeff and I were friends, but we weren't super close. And so I thought, well, this is odd. And we went out to eat, and we're sitting across the table. And I don't know why, and I just mentioned it to him just a little bit ago. And he didn't even remember it. But I don't know why he did, but he said, "Jeremiah, if God seems to be putting walls up in your life, he's trying to stop you. And it's not the Lord's will." I don't even know if he knew what was going on. But when he said that, it was immediately, well, that's exactly what's happened. And I don't know if anybody had ever told me that or if it just didn't sink in until that moment. But boy, did it sink in. And I thought, you know what? God is putting up some walls. And not everybody understood. Not everybody understood why. Why did you stop? Why did you change course? Because I knew that's what the Lord wanted. And I look back and I thank the Lord that God put wise people in my life. And you need to go to godly, wise people. People that will go to Scripture and use Scripture to counsel you so that you can say, yeah, that's true, and I know that it's true because it's in God's Word. You know, the problem is I see young people today, even young people that have been to a year, maybe even 2 years of Bible college, and they make decisions and say, well, the door was open. The devil's going to open a lot of doors for you if you'll walk through them. He's going to offer you a lot of things that you might want if you'll walk through it. And sometimes I think the advice that some of these people get, I think, you know, this isn't wise advice. Oh, I support your decision. I don't support your decision if it's a bad decision. It's not a good decision. Unless it's based upon principle of God's Word. And if you know that I can go to God's Word and say, this is why I'm making this decision, and it's clear, that's a great decision. And Jonah was making decisions based upon feelings, based upon emotions, based upon a dislike for people, and they weren't very smart. Right? That's why we say, Jonah, you're really running from God? You shouldn't run from God either. Don't run from that call that God has on your life. You know, maybe somebody in this room, God has been knocking on your heart's door about surrendering to a field for ministry. Do it. Do it. Don't run from that call. Don't be afraid of that. Don't think, well, God's going to send me. It's going to be really bad. No, it's not. It's not going to be really bad. It's going to be really good. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That's good. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Those are good things. You need to trust the Lord and say yes. And I sense something. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. I sense something in our churches that seems like, you know, if my young person is sold out for ministry, well, then they're called. But if they're not sure, well, then maybe they're not called, and so I'm going to push them in a different direction. That's wrong. That's wrong. We ought to push them for the Lord. And if God points them in a different direction, then that's okay. But put them in the Lord's hands first, not the world's hands. Don't let it up to the world. Give it to the Lord. If you think that God might be calling you, I'm not saying if you're 100% sure. I mean, if you're 100% sure, it's obvious. But if you think that the Lord might be calling you, then give your life to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. He's not trying to trick you. And if you give your life to the Lord, like I said the other night about your money, he's not trying to steal your life. If he doesn't want it for ministry, he'll tell you that. He'll tell you exactly what he wants. But if you give it to the Lord will show you exactly where he wants you to be. Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord. Jonah ran into problems. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. And I want you to notice verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Jonah ran into problems. Proverbs 13 and verse 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. If you decide that you're going to run from the presence of God, then expect that you're going to run into problems. There will be problems along the way. These are things that God's plan was designed to avoid, but you have decided to head headlong into them. You say, well, I want to look at those pictures. Well, then you're going to face some heavy guilt in your life, and you're going to face some heavy consequences in your life. Because if you run from the presence and the purpose and the plan of God, you are going to have problems. There will always be consequences from running from the Lord. I don't know if you noticed, but every time Jonah does something against what the Lord wants, there's a problem. There's a problem. And sure, some of that problem is to help steer Jonah back, but a lot of that problem is because don't expect to have a sweet street if you're running from God. You know, I think of Samson. Samson, probably my favorite character in all of Scripture, not because of his success, but because of the special gift that he had. I don't think there's anybody in Scripture that had a gift anything like what he had. But if you look at him, and you look at all the things that he did, it was almost as a result of a problem that he created because he didn't do what God wanted him to do in the first place. Every situation he was in, it was like, man, what are you doing there? Why are you with that person? Why are you doing that? Why did you say that? And then he gets into a problem, and he's got to fix it with the gift that God gave him. You know, I don't think that's what God designed for him. I think if he'd have said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Samson would have been, I mean, it could have been an entire book of the Bible of exploits that God did through Samson to deliver the people from the consequences of their own sin. But yet he was delivering himself from the consequences of his sin. Problem after problem after problem, because Samson didn't do what God wanted him to do from square one. He followed his flesh. He followed himself. And expect that you're going to run into problems. You think of David's life. For the most part, David, everything was lined up for him. As a child, he behaved himself wisely. He walked with the Lord. He sang to the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. You look at the David and Goliath story. And his father sends him, and he was responsible. He left the sheep with the keeper. He did everything that his father wanted him. He ran to the army. He brought the food. He found out, like his dad wanted him to find out, what's going on. And when he sees what's going on, he thinks in his mind, this is not biblical. This is not what God wants us to do. God never asked us to cower in fear, but God said, I will fight for you. And so David goes out to the battle and says, the Lord's going to fight for us. He's helped me do my job before. He's delivered a bear into my hands and a lion into my hands. Well, why not this guy? And that's basically what he tells Goliath. The Lord's going to fight for me. The Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. It's not me. And from there on out, God delivered him and God gave him things. But when David took matters into his own hands and looked after this woman, Bathsheba, and lusted upon her and said, I'm going to take her to myself, what happened? Consequence after consequence for the rest of his life. If you run from the presence of the Lord, expect that you're going to run into problems. And I find something very interesting in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rode hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. But they could not. There are some things that God will allow you to do. Like buy a ticket to get on a boat to run away. But there are other things that God will not allow you to do. This is God's grace. It is God's grace that they were in a storm. It's God's grace to say, hey, turn around, Jonah. Stop what you're doing. It's not right. And at the same time, I'm thinking Jonah's like, yeah, let's get to the shore. I'll get off. I'll continue to run a different direction. We won't have this bad of a storm. We'll figure it out. Nope. The Lord says, no, you are not getting to shore. That is not what my plan is for you. Even when you run from the Lord, you're still in God's hands. And that's a good thing. But it could be a bad thing. It could be a bad thing. I look at verse 17 and I think, that's a bad thing. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. That's not good. Okay, yes, his life was spared. That is not good to be inside of a fish for 3 days. It was not pleasant. Jonah did not want to be in there. Eventually he's praying, let me out of here. Jonah ran into problems. Galatians 6:9, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you obey it? Do you run from the presence of the Lord? Do you run from that call of God on your life? Do you run from the conviction? Or do you say, you know what? I'm going to run exactly to the Lord. If that's what He wants for me, or even if what I think it is what He wants for me, I'm going to go at it 110% because I trust the Lord. Jonah ran into preparations. Verse number 4, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest. God prepared that. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We find out later that when Jonah was angry at the Lord, he goes out of the city, and the Lord prepared a gourd for him, and the Lord prepared a worm, and the Lord prepared the sun and the wind to beat down upon it. The Lord is going to prepare things for you. And they could be good, or they could be adverse to your life. And Jonah ran into those preparations. Listen, God always has a plan. God always has a plan. You think, well, I've made some really bad decisions. You know what? Maybe you have. Jonah made some bad decisions, and God still used Jonah. You may have made some decisions that have some serious consequences, but God always has a plan. One of the best verses and one of people's favorite verses in this is that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time saying in chapter 3, verse 1, that God said, okay, Jonah, let's reset here. Let's start over. I'm going to give you a second chance. God is so good to us. God is so good to us that He would do that. You know, I would think that if a guy's running away from me, not wanting to do what I had asked him to do, I'd say, you know what, I'm going to find somebody else. I'm going to find somebody that wants to do it. I'm sure there's somebody that would want to serve the Lord. I'm sure that there would be. I'm sure that there's somebody who would trust the Lord. But God has something special for you. You know, I think, what if Jonah had never turned to the Lord? He never would have seen what God would have for him. And it's sad that Jonah never was pleased with what the Lord wanted. But God always has a plan. God still used Moses even after Moses was angry. God still used David after David messed up. God still used all these people, and God will still use you. That doesn't give you an excuse. Well, I'm going to plan to do wrong. But it gives you an understanding that God is gracious. And it gives you hope that God can use you and God wants to use you. But I want you to notice last in chapter 2, Jonah ran until he prayed. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me, and out of the belly of the hell I cried, and Thou heardest my voice. For Thou hast cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed about me, and all the billows in Thy ways passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of Thy sight, yet I will look again to Thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast Thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto Thee, unto Thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. One time when we lived in Indiana, our yard was, it looked like a typical neighborhood. We had houses on either side and houses in the front. But behind our house was just open fields. And my oldest daughter, even yesterday on the hike, she's always been a rock collector. I don't really understand it, but she just likes rocks. And when she was 3 or 4 years old, she went back in that field one day, and she had it was like a newspaper bag. Oh, I remember what it was. It was one of the sleeves that you take a chair that you fold up, like a lawn chair, and you slide it in there. And she took that sleeve, and she started looking for rocks, and she would toss them in that bag. And she kept going, and it was one of those things. It was like the breadcrumbs. And she'd see another rock, and she'd go after that. And the field had been plowed. The crops were gone, but the rocks had come to the surface. And so she kept going, and she kept going. And finally, we couldn't see her anymore. And it was not really a hill, but it just kind of rolled a little bit. And she's still very short, but at 3, 4 years old, she was really short. And so we looked out there, and we couldn't see her, but we knew she'd been out there. Well, I went to the crest of the hill and I could barely see her, just this little dot of a person way out there. What had happened was that every time she saw a rock, she'd go to that rock. Oh, and then there's another one. And she found this little seam that was almost like a creek. And she just found all these rocks and she just kept going until she was so far away. And so I said, come back, come back, come back. And she couldn't. You know why she couldn't? Because that bag was so heavy. And you know, as soon as that happened, as soon as I figured that out, I thought, you know, that is so much like us. You know, we will follow after things that we want, and we'll see another one, and we'll see another one. And the next thing you know, we're farther away from home than we ever thought we would be. We're farther away from what we should have been doing than we ever thought we'd get there. And sometimes that bag gets so heavy that we don't think we can get back. And maybe we hear the voice of the Lord, and maybe we can see Him afar off in our lives, and we say, I want to come back, but I can't because I have all this baggage. Do you think I left her out there? No, I went out there and I got her. I brought the bag back too. You know, the Lord's not going to leave you out there. The Lord's not going to leave Jonah in the belly of the fish. The Lord's not going to let him drown in the ocean. And sometimes the Lord lets us get that far away and look at that big bag of heavy sin that we have so that we can realize what that first sin did to us. We can realize what that pile of rocks really is. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to take the first step. And the Lord wants to come to us and say, come on, I'll help you find your way back. And that's exactly what He did for Jonah. And just because maybe you've said no up to this point doesn't mean you still have to say no. You know, I like what Jonah said. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If you follow the lie, if you believe the lie that this rock is going to satisfy me, that the next step is going to satisfy me, you know what? You're going to continue to believe that lie until you're so far away that you can't believe it and you can't even help yourself anymore. And that's what that verse means. They that observe lying vanities, you can get away from the presence of the Lord, Jonah. No, you can't. You can get away from what God wants you to do. No, you can't. Don't observe the lying vanity. Don't observe the thing that's not true. Don't believe that you can get away with life and doing it your own way and be happy with it. Especially if you're saved. If you're saved, forget about it. You're taking the Lord with you wherever you go. The Holy Spirit is in your heart to convict you, to change you. And you're going to take that in all those places. It's just going to get worse and worse, and you're going to be more and more miserable to leave the presence of the Lord. To leave what God wants you to do. And Jonah ran until he prayed. You will continue to run until you reverse your course. That sounds so simple, but it's true. Until you decide that I'm going to go back to God, you're still running. You might say, I'm not going after the same thing anymore. You're still running. Well, I'm not going to do that anymore, but I'm not going to go back to what God wants. You're still running. You're still away from the Lord. You can't have a 50-50 proposition. Then I'll do a little bit of this, but I won't go that far. You're still running. Stop running. Stop running from the Lord. You say, well, I'm a Camp Barnabas. That doesn't mean you're surrendered. You say, well, I've memorized these verses. That doesn't mean you're doing what God wants you. That's one thing that God wants you to do. But God wants all of you. You know, on that Romans 12:1-2 passage, present your bodies a living sacrifice, as a picture of a burnt offering. And they would have these things called flesh hooks in case in the fire, you know, you fry bacon and things pop off, right? Well, it's similar. Things fly off. Well, you got to put it back on. And sometimes as you surrender things to the Lord, there's parts of your life that fall off. Maybe you pull them off. You need to throw them back on. You need to throw them back on. Lord, consume me with the fire of your purpose. Consume me with the fire of yourself. Lord, because I believe that that's the best fire to be in. I believe that that's the best way to go. And that's what Jonah was saying. I have been wrong. I see now that I've been wrong. Don't let it come to the point that you're in the belly of a whale. Don't let it come to the point where you're at the bottom of the earth and you say, I can't get any lower without dying. Don't let it come to that point. This is not a good thing that he's in that whale. But he prayed. He repented. I've been wrong and I'm going to change my course. Maybe some of you tonight need to say that. I've been wrong and I'm going to change my course. I'm going to change my direction. And he submitted to God. I will do what God wants me to do. And some of you tonight need to say that. With your heads bowed and eyes closed. There's a young man that has called me several times. A young man that at first said, I'll do what the Lord wants me to do, but guess what? He ran in other areas of his life. And because he ran in those areas, he wasn't following the Lord. And he fell away from the Lord. And he's come to places in his life that he's so miserable, he's upset with himself. But he's still running. He's as miserable as anybody can be because he's still running. Young people, he sat in seats just like this. Has done things that you hope to do for the Lord. But he's running from the Lord. And if he were here, I would tell him, as I've told him in the past, stop running. Stop running. Young people, it is not worth it. It's not worth it. Maybe somebody in this room would say, God has been calling me to serve Him in full-time ministry, and I have yet to say yes. But tonight, I'm going to say yes to the Lord. I'm going to stop running. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I have been saying, I see several hands. One, two, three on my left. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see another one. I have been running from what God has wanted me to do. I have been saying no, but tonight I'm going to say yes. Anybody else? I'm going to give my life to the Lord. All right, young people, would you stand to your feet right now?